1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God. And have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him. And he in us, he has given us of the Spirit, of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. And God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Let us give thanks. Father, we do thank you for your words. We thank you, Father, that you continue to bring them to us in the darkness of this world. We thank you so much, Father, that you have made them this shining light in our lives. That all we need do is seek you. That all we need do is love you. And you will love us in return. Or rather, you already have. And that you will continue to show us your truth. Through your Spirit. So help us today, Lord, as we come to your words and see your love for us, and see your love even in others, that you help us, Father. Help us, Lord, to love you in return. And we thank you for Christ our Lord. Amen. I don't even know where to start. I had something all planned out here, but it got messed up already this morning. There's something about when we talk about God's love and we realize, you know, and we feel it. It's not so much that we even just talk about it, but we feel His love in our lives, that we just become overwhelmed. That we start to realize and recognize just how oftentimes we're so inadequate in how we love God. But I think there's an understanding that comes in that as well, because you see, God is love. All love begins with Him. And we can't know true love without knowing Him. And I think that as we bring ourselves to this moment, as we try to understand what's going on in here, and I'm not going to get past without saying this, I'm just going to just say it. Okay, this is how some of these things work. That we talk about seeing love. We talk about the things that you know that God does. We say, well, how do we know that God is here and how do we know that God is with us? Well, if you didn't see that mom and daughter sing this morning, and you didn't see love, I'm going to pray for you hard. You know, because that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. You know, all week long, and this is why I say this, because all week long I'm just looking for examples and things that I can say to you that, you know, say, well, this is what love looks like, and how do you picture love to somebody, and how do you describe it so they can picture it in their head? Well, then God throws these amazing examples that just pierce you right through the heart. This is what He wanted us to see. This is what He wanted us to know. This is what God's love looks like. And that's what John brings us to. And it's no wonder then that he starts out this discussion of love, that he starts it out with the testing of the spirits. See, I can't come up with this stuff that makes it look that good. I can't come up with this stuff that makes it sound, you know, or see, that you can see the reality of what it is, that you can actually reach out and you can touch that and you can say, that's God's love. Because, you know, as we look at this, and I'm trying to find a way to help you to understand, there's got to be a way that you can see that you can test the spirits and that you would know, as John says, this is how you know love. You can recognize God's love. You can recognize it if you love God. And God loves you and you recognize it in others. He says, this is how you could do it. And so he has to bring us to the testing of the spirits first. That makes sense, doesn't it? That what he's saying is, if you would just open up your eyes and you would just observe God's love, you would see it if you love God. If you don't love God, you won't see it. It won't be visible to you. But you will also know that when you see it in someone else, that God is at work. That is the Spirit of God at work. It doesn't make that mother and that daughter holier than anything that we know. It doesn't make them more than Christ. It just makes them in Christ. What an amazing example. Because I know that when we talk about love and we speak of the things of love, that the one thing that we know, or at least I know, maybe of all the years that I've had of loving, you know, one person in my life as my wife and others as my friends and fellow believers, this is what I know about love. This is what I've learned. This is the bottom line. You can quote me on this. You can take this one to the bank, too. Love is complicated. It's hard to figure out. You know, it's hard to figure out how two people who love each other can yell at each other. It's hard to figure out how two people who love each other may not even talk to each other. It's hard to figure out sometimes, you know, how what love is supposed to look like never looks like what it is, and we give it a new definition, right? We give it a new meaning. And I'm not going to go into all the examples of love or all the definitions of what love is, because honestly, you know, we could do that and you still walk out of here confused. But I think if we just start with the idea that love is complicated, then we can let God sort it out for us. And help us understand the simplicity of love when we see a daughter look at her mother in the eyes of love and the mother look at her daughter in the eyes of love. That we can think of, well, did Jesus, when he was born, did Mary look into his eyes and love him? And did he look back at her and see her in the same way? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Now it makes sense and it becomes visible to us and it becomes something that we can touch and it becomes so less complicated when God teaches us, when God shows us. But I think that as we go through this, the one thing that we for sure must understand is that God's love is visible. You can see it. You can see God's love. Can you imagine that? Can you even go there with me on that? That you can see God's love. And that when that happens, that you can say, there, right there. I just saw it. I just saw God's love. It was right there. I saw it. And then you get all excited and you give a sermon and you say, this is what love looks like. So you can see it. And that's why John wants us to test it. He's not saying, you know, that you should not trust everybody, because in the end, you know who to trust because of those who really love God. But what he's saying is that look and see it for yourself. Look and recognize it. You can recognize it and not be afraid. You see, this is the biggest thing about love that that really just kind of, baffles me sometimes, is that here John is talking about love that we shouldn't be afraid of. But what man or what woman isn't afraid when they fall in love with someone? Is he the right man? Is he the right woman? Will he be all that I expected him to be? And the jury's still out on that one. But I'm praying for a merciful jury too. But as we look at these things of love and John brings us to this, I just hope and pray that you can understand the immense impact that John makes with this as he writes this letter to a people who think that they're being overwhelmed by the darkness, who believe that everything that the world has is more powerful than anything that they have, that people from within them even are teaching this false gospel, this false truth, this falsehood. That even as all of this takes place, John writes to them and he gives them the impact of God's love. He says, this is God's love. This is what it looks like. It's not mamby-pamby. It's not wimpy. It's not slobbering on each other and say, man, I love you. It's powerful. It's significant. It's transforming. Let's take a look at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. This is the transforming love of God. That when God's love enters into your life, you are changed. John talked to Nicodemus about this. You must be born again, he said. Excuse me, Jesus talked to John or talked to Nicodemus about that. You must be born again. And that as we look at this born again, that as we look at the things that take place in our lives and that God makes us new, this is the one thing that we should look for, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Is that this love right here has changed you, has made you different. Isn't that incredible to think? That a baby born into the world would transform the heart of her mother, of his mother. And that we saw the evidences of that here just this morning. That a baby born anywhere looks into the eyes of the mother and things are changed. But Jesus looks into the eyes of a person and their lives are made new. And it's not only enough to think that, Jesus has made me new. I've been born again, but when we look at this and we understand that it's visible. It's a change that is for real. It's a change that takes place. It's not a matter of following rules. It's not a matter of doing all the things that Christians do. It's not a matter of getting the book that gives you the code and the rules of how to be a good Christian. It's none of that. It all starts in the heart. It all starts in the place that we have these things that we call emotion. It all starts in the place where God resides in us, in the Holy Spirit, in our hearts. And this transformation not only takes place on the inside, but it takes place on the outside. And the things that we do, the things that we express, not even knowing that we're doing it, it shows the sign of God in us. It shows the love of God in us. That it begins to show us and the world that this is what God's love is. Of all of the things that we would bring ourselves to, of all of the things that we might say that you know, well, we just can't understand it. We don't know. God gives us this one thing that we can understand and that we can know. And it's called love. And it's powerful and it's transforming in what God gives us. And then we take that and we express that to others. And we show that to others. You see, God's love wasn't intended to be just hidden. It wasn't intended to be covered up. It was intended to be shown to the world. It was intended for us to take that and express that out into a world. In other words, it was meant to be selfless and not selfish. You see, your love that God looks at, that He runs through you and works through you, His own love, that when He works that through you, it shows in how you treat others, in how you help others, in how you express that to others. That you show this love of God. Because, well, you see, you serve Him. You serve His love. He doesn't serve you. And He doesn't serve your love. Your desires should be His desires. Your wants should be His wants. Your ways should be His ways. And that as we're given this wonderful, amazing sign of mercy, grace, and love from our God, why would we want to be selfish about it? Why would we want to hold it in? And I think that as we pull that all in and we start to have all these feelings of goodness, of God's goodness in our lives, and we start to, you know, we look at things and we say, well, then everything must be slobbering kisses over each other and doing these things with each other and to show, you know, oh, I love you, man, and that kind of stuff. But that's not it. Because you see, this God who loves us, this God who has love for us, He's also the God that judges us. He's also the God that let loose His wrath into the world because of those who had rejected Him and that He knew that they would never accept Him. So He brought them into judgment. He brought them into His wrath. But as we look at the goodness of our God and we say that God is love, then we must understand this one thing. That anything that God does is love. Anything that God expresses into the world is love. We just don't understand it. It's just too complicated for us. And so we fall back into our original mode. We listen to the world and what the world says love is. And we become selfish. We become self-centered and we have our own desires that we want to seek in the world. Verse 9, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him, the visible evidence of God's love for us. This is how He has shown us. This is what He has given us. We said, okay, well, we hear You love us, but we don't know it. But God has shown us. He has given us of Himself. The very God who created us selflessly made Himself less than what He was and was born into the darkness of the world so that He could show us His love. And this is our salvation, loved ones. This is what He has done. His love for us is shown through His salvation for us. And His salvation for us comes through a baby that was born in a manger. That would grow up into a man who would then preach God's word into the world of darkness. And that world would reject him. And that world would crucify him. This baby who brought love into the world. But this is how God has shown it to us. And this is how we see it. That we look and we say, God, why would you save me? Why would you save a wretched man like me? And he would say, because I love you. And I would look into his eyes. And he would look into mine. And the love would be visible. Because you see, through this salvation that he has given us, this that he has given us, his one and only Son, as a payment for our sins, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is the binding element of love. This is God's binding love. That when he pulls you into him, to go back to the example that God gave me this morning, I don't know if it's the love that really hits me so quick, as so much as when you look into the eyes of them looking at each other, that you see this divine bond, that you see this connection. I mean, I get it. I know she's a kid. Try doing that with Cade. Ryan, you're up next. I get it. But when the Spirit works, he knows that too. When the Spirit works, he knows what they are and who we are. And that when we see that bond, that's the same kind of bond that we have in our visible love with God. Loved ones, if you love God, you love Jesus Christ, you love the Holy Spirit, you are bound to them. You are bound to them in your salvation. That God has given up his Son so that you could live with him for all eternity. This is his promise to you. This is what binds him with you, and that he will never let you go. This is where we stand in the confidence of his love. But here's the thing. When you are bound in love with someone, it requires so much more. And this is when it becomes complicated. For a mother and a daughter to love each other, and for the daughter to look at the mother and with just nothing but love in her eyes, and the mother to look at her in the same way. And that they're bound together, that we know that there's something that even after they're bound together, that there has to be something more. That she will struggle with her daughter to live in obedience. To live in obedience not only to the parental responsibilities, but certainly to live in the complication of love. And the love for God and the sharing of God. And the mother will share her love for God with her daughter. And the prayer will always be that God binds with the daughter. And that as we look at this and we see how it works and how visible it really is, that it binds us to God, then he looks at us in the same way. Do you look at him? Do you look at him and you wait and say, Lord, tell me what to do. Lord, whatever it is that I should do to obey you, I will do. And then you become that spoiled little kid again. And he reaches out like a good father again and says, don't forget how much I love you. So it's visible, it's binding. And it's effective. It's effective. God's love goes unchallenged. It goes where God desires it to go. It overpowers whatever God decides it will overpower. God's love is not only immeasurable, in other words, you can't measure it. But God's love is beyond any understanding that we will ever have of love. That's what makes it complicated for us. Because God is love, we don't understand him. We try, we want to, we throw ourselves at it. We want to every day, we want to know him a little bit more, but we don't know him. So that's why then he responds to us in his love, and his love is effective. And it shows his works. Verse 13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. Of his Spirit. Of God's Spirit. He will work in you because he loves you. He will work in you Because he wants his love to shine through you to others. This is why you cannot do faith alone. This is why you cannot do church alone. This is why, as helpful as it can be, being online and doing the video thing will never replace this. It will never replace it. It gives us kind of a temporary thing, but we should always see it as a temporary thing. The ultimate goal will be to be together so that we can show this love for each other. We're not going to ignore all the safety things that we have to do. We're not going to, because we love each other. We're going to do what we have to do. But our goal will always be together, because this is the effectiveness of God's love in our lives, in our hearts, that he works through us in the Holy Spirit, that he gathers us in him. And if you remember, that's how John started this. John started this letter because he wanted us all to be in communion and in fellowship with him. All of us. And so as God works through us in his Holy Spirit, John says in 14, he says, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." So he adds in this personal testimony. We saw Jesus. We touched Jesus. We spoke with Jesus. We abandoned Jesus. And he continues to live in our lives. And he continues to remind us of the salvation and the binding that we have with him. And he goes on to say in 15, "If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God." Doesn't this make sense? That if you acknowledge Jesus, then it means more than just to say, yeah, he's there. But it's a matter of following Jesus. It's a matter of walking with him, obeying him. And just like God the Father, who sometimes he would command us or tell us to do stuff instead of asking us, it's because he loves us. And he wants us to continue to follow and walk in Christ. And so as he continues to work in our lives and he's affected through the Holy Spirit, he continues to bring us to the things that we need to remember. Christmas is about salvation. Christmas is about the God who gave up this baby in a manger for those who were unworthy, for those who didn't deserve it. But yet God placed his love in us all the same. And we can know and we can see that when someone is loved by God and they love God, that love will spill over into the love of others. That God's work will be effective. You see, so if it doesn't go through you, it's not effective. And that can't be God. Because we know that God is effective. We know that Christ died on the cross. And that for those that he loved and he died for, that they would be saved. He didn't fail. There wasn't some that got away from him. He died for those who were his, that all would be saved. But we ponder and wonder sometimes, well, doesn't he love all those others? Doesn't he love all those who have died without him? And the truth is that he did love them. They didn't love him. And that he will then let them go. This is the binding. This is the effective work. This is the salvation that we know of and believe in. And that when we know and that we talk of that baby who has been brought into the world, that sacrifice. Could you imagine the mother holding up her daughter then after the song was done and saying, "Now you may sacrifice her." Can you imagine that? I can't. I don't know about you, but I'd be the first one to jump and say, no, don't kill the child. Don't kill that baby. But yet, God sent his Son into the world. Man, he must truly love us. So in the second part of verse 16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Verse 17 says, "This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. We have to take a moment with this one. That as we take a look at verse 17, and we look at this idea that love is made complete, we're kind of under the understanding that we're always working to grow in Jesus Christ, and that's true, we are. We're always working. But we're being completed by Jesus. We're being perfected by Jesus. But we are complete when we stand in Him. Okay, let me see if I can ask John to help us out here just a little bit. If you go back to chapter 2 and you look at verses 5 to 6, and so as John opens up his letter, and verse 3 says, we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. Okay, so in other words, you obey Him. So then in verse 5 and 6, but if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. So there's our obedience. Our obedience is to what Jesus did. Our obedience comes in that this is made complete. So the Father loves the Son. The Son loves us. We love the Father. So as God makes that complete, in other words, we're brought into the fellowship and the communion with God, as John has started us on. That as we're brought into that communion, that love is made complete. That we are given His full love. There's no more growing in His love because He loves you. But as He loves you and you love Him in return, He has made it complete. But now He calls us to the task of being obedient to His command. He calls us to the task of showing that love that we have received into the world. No matter how the world judges it, no matter what the world thinks of it, the love that God has in the world is His love. And it shows His love. But now let's look at verse 17 in chapter 4. So He says about judgment, that this is the day that we are being loved for in judgment. So this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. All of God's love is about our judgment. That one day we will stand in front of Him and He will either pull us into the kingdom of heaven or He will reject us from it. That we will either live with Him or without Him. And that as God loves us, we must understand that that's what it's all about. That He's come into the world to show us His love, to demonstrate His love, to give us proof of His love, to give us reality of His love through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because He doesn't want us to exist without Him in all eternity. This is what He has done. He has helped us. He has saved us from His own wrath. That He has saved us by showing us the immeasurable love of God. And He says, in this world, we are like Jesus. Now, I get it. We are not Jesus. You are not Jesus. Don't come telling me you're Jesus, because I'm going to say you're not. But you are to be. If you see the words there themselves, like Jesus, there is your mark. There is your standard. This is not about what would Jesus do, but this is about what Jesus did. That we look back into His word, that we look back into the truth that God has given to us, that when we see this as John has brought us to it, that as we see this evidence that He has left in our presence, that then we can know what it takes to be like Jesus Christ. To live like Him. To be the image of Him in the world. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what we face, that we stand and like Christ, we stand in the commandments of His Father, in the truth of God and God's love. Jesus says, I only do what the Father has told me to do. I only teach what He has given me to teach. And so then John says, and there is no fear. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. He said, perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. You no longer need to be afraid of your judgment. You no longer need to fear that. You can walk in confidence of that. And indeed, that is your boast. Your boast is not about how holy you are. Your boast is about how holy God is and how loving God is in Jesus Christ, that He would die for you so that you wouldn't be punished in the end. But what about the fear of the Lord? We see this is the separation of that. This is the separation, and this is, you know, why we have to come here. Because we have no fear of judgment, but we still fear the Lord. We fear Him because of His power, His sovereignty, His goodness, His purity. That when people like us stand in His presence, we recognize just how junky we are. Just how covered in scum that we really are. That we are not worthy. That's when we are brought to guilt and shame. And we're brought to that because then we recognize that He's the only one who can relieve us of that. He's the only one that can heal us in that. And our fear is not that He doesn't love us, but that we haven't loved Him. So we fear Him. We fear the Lord, but not in our punishment. You see, His empowering love, when it comes into you and it changes you, and you realize, not that, you know, that you know, well, you know, I love Pastor Ben so much, I just love him. But you realize how much you love Him. And it would be wrong of Pastor Ben to say to you, well, love me more than you love God. That would be wrong. That would be a true test of my spirit, wouldn't it? It would be visible to you. You would see it. You would know it. And as much as I could use the word love, you would know that Pastor Ben really doesn't love God. He kind of loves himself more than God. You see, this is the empowering that it gives us. That we can see that. That you can know that. That you can do something about that. And you certainly don't have to be afraid. This church that is in persecution, that is living in the darkness and feels like they're being overwhelmed by the darkness, John writes them and he says to them, if you love God, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body. Be afraid of those, of the one who can kill the soul. So it's separated for us. We're shown this empowering love in our lives. And I hope, loved ones, I hope you accept it. Now, I beg you to accept it. To accept the empowering love of God. It doesn't make us milquetoast. Do you know what milquetoast is? It's toast that you put in milk. It becomes soft and is gooey and is icky. It's not good. Not good at all. And you pick it up out of the milk and it falls all apart. It's nothing. That's not what He called us to be. He called us to stand up in His love, to be empowered by His love. Do not be afraid in the darkness that we are living in. And then there's the testing. Take the testing with you. Take that to heart. Again, it's not a measure of how much you know about these things. It's not much how much you know about being a Christian. It's not how much you know about being a member of Faith Bible Church. Matter of fact, put that last on your list. Your testing and the testing then that you take to others reveals your love and how much you love God. Be aware of that. Understand that in yourself first. Then look to others, not because you want to put them in their place, but because you want to reach out in the love of God and say to them, God loves you. And He's here for you if you would just love Him in return. This is what the testing is. I have this basket. And that this is the basket that Jesus brought into the world. I'm pretending, okay? This is not the real basket. But this is the basket that Jesus brought into the world. And it was filled with God's love. But then someone comes along and says to Jesus, "But Jesus, your basket is empty." And Jesus says, "I know." "Well, Jesus, why is your basket empty?" "Because the love that I brought in it, I gave it away. And nobody put anything back in." That's the test. What will you put back in the basket? What will you put in there for Christ? What will you do to show God's love? The last verse that we read here, and he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. Why do you think he has to command love? Because it's complicated to us. We don't understand it. We think it's arbitrary. We think you hand it out where you want or take it back where you want, but that's not true. You put it in the basket, it stays in there. You put it back into where it belongs, into what God has told you to do. You walk around and you look for people who are walking around with empty baskets and you give them the love. Now they may take it and give it back to you and say, "I don't want it." But that's not the test. The test is, would you take it out and give it to them? Maybe they take it and they throw it on the ground. They say, "I don't want your stupid love." And then what do you do? "Well, my God commanded me to love you. Because he knew that there would become a day that you would make me mad. And you would take my love and you would throw it on the ground and you would dishonor it. That I would say to you, I don't love you anymore." And God says, "You don't have that option. You will love them like I have loved you. And yes, they will be unworthy of your love, but you will love them anyway. Even when they don't love you in return. And you will walk around and you will fill the basket." You see, loved ones, we have a tendency to think that people have to love us first. People got to love us first, but that's not true. That's not the test. How many people love you? The test is, how many people do you love? God is love. Your love belongs to him. And what you do with it and how you act is how you show your love to him. Father, I just thank you so much for what you give us and your love. I thank you, Father, for what you give us in this time that we have again to celebrate the birth of your son. That we know, Lord, that that we have a tendency to run away with these things, that to make it more about us than you. We have a tendency, Lord, to feel sorry for ourselves. But we know, Father, that this is not the time or the place. That there is no fear in love. There is no fear in knowing that you have paid the price for our judgment. And so we would ask, Lord, then, that as we go throughout our time, through this darkness that we are in, that we would ask, Lord, that you help us to be filled with your love in the Holy Spirit. We would ask, Father, that you would help us to have that empowering love that you have given us, to not be afraid to show our love. And to understand, just as you have loved us and have been rejected by many, that will happen to us as well. And so help us to remember in that time, Lord, that they are not love. That we are not love. You are love. And we ask that you strengthen us in that, Lord. Help us to always remember that and to make that our cry and our plea. In Jesus' name, amen.